You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody. It is Friday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name is Adam Bittner, assistant sports editor for multimedia at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joined by Jason Mackey, our Pirates insider, for this week's episode of Pitching In. We're back with the regular full-length podcast. We've been doing a little bit shorter stuff, Jason, to kind of break up the news, make it a little bit more digestible. But it's been a busy week of Steelers offseason news, been a busy week of Penguins, been a busy week of Pitt. So we figured this is time to do a full-length check-in on the Pirates down in Bradenton. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Yeah, you guys have all kinds of stuff happening up there. It's been a little bit more sane down here, at least this side of Aroldis Chapman. But yeah, I've been good.
Good, good. So we're going to get into, you know, all of the big storylines down there, how this roster is shaping up. Before we do, we just want to remind you that Pitching In is brought to you, as always, by the North Shore Tavern. If you love baseball, you'll love the North Shore Tavern. The interior is wall-to-wall Pirates. There are appetizers, entrees, cocktails, and, of course, steak and seafood on a sizzling lava stone. Open every day, the North Shore Tavern across from PNC Park. It's Pittsburgh's home for steak on a stone. Jason, I want to get into the pitching first. I know you've written about Chase Anderson. You've written about Jared Jones. You've written about Bailey Falter over the last week. We've also talked previously about how there was a notion that maybe there was another move coming for this pitching rotation to kind of upgrade things before the season has, you know, begins. But you've seen some of these guys step up in the last couple of weeks here. What is your read on how their things are shaping up, specifically from the perspective of outside versus inside candidates?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely put the inside candidates ahead of the outside candidates. I think it's awfully late in the game for something like that to happen. Edward Cabrera is one of the names that I mentioned that other people mentioned that would make a lot of sense for them. And, you know, you see he's one of the Marlins starters out with an injury. I don't see that coming together right now in a way that could fit them. I would certainly love for them to sign Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery or something fun like that. We're also talking about the Pirates. So I think it has to come internally. I don't feel great about their options right now. Rowanzi Contreras has been up and down and a lot of down. Bailey Falter has been down with one up. Their most exciting arm, honestly, Adam, has been Jared Jones. And do they, I mean, obviously outside of Paul Skeens, I'm talking about people reliably in the competition here. I don't see how you don't break camp with Jared Jones in your rotation. And then that other spot, I don't know. It could be Chase Anderson. I'm curious what Eric Lauer can do. I know that sounds like a depressing sentence to some people, but he does have a track record here. So I don't know what all that adds up to. I still want more data. Quinn Priester is going to pitch tonight in Tampa against the Yankees. I think that's an important start for him. I could certainly feel more encouraged by the rotation, but I don't see anything external.
To me, it feels like, Jason, they're just going to have to hit an inside straight here for these, you know, any of these guys we just talked about, plus Marco Gonzalez, Martin Perez, to all work out in the way that they're hoping for. Yeah. For a competitive team, right? Because that's supposed to be the bar here is, are they going to compete to, you know, if not have a winning season, then maybe be in the wild card conversation. I think it's not quite adding that math isn't mathing for me, Jason. That doesn't mean that there can't be promising storylines and that there can't be guys that are encouraging like Jared Jones. But if you take it on a holistic level, it just feels like there's going to have to be a lot of things that work out precisely right for this rotation to work early on.
Yeah. And I mean, we're not mentioning some of the negative or problematic things either. Like Martin Perez finished the year last year in the bullpen for Texas. He's been good so far. And optimistically, you could say, oh, it's going to be great. He's going to be a veteran on an $8 million contract. There's no guarantee of that. Marco Gonzalez was good yesterday, but His first two starts were not. Mitch Keller's velocity was down in a kind of scary way in his last start. So, I mean, we're also talking about the 4-5, or at least I was, in a way that you're assuming 1, 2, and 3 are excellent. And that's a large assumption. And that's one reason I feel like still they left themselves entirely too thin on the starting rotation. I would have liked to have seen them do more. I know they wanted to do more, tried to do more, you know, within various degrees. Obviously, if you try, you should accomplish. But, you know, like they did get close on guys. I wasn't just pulling that out of nowhere. I don't think I was the only one with that. But, you know, they did have interest in adding another starter. It didn't line up. And I just worry how costly that's going to turn out to be.
If things don't work out early on, we're sitting here in late April, early May, do you think the calculus and the willingness to be aggressive and make a move changes for them, given that the bar is supposed to be raised this season? Or do you think that this is pretty much where we are until Paul Skeens shows up, if he shows up, when he shows up, in terms of any big additions to this group?
I think you need to look at it. Like, number one, if we get into that situation, are they struggling because their pitching stinks? If we assume that to be true, okay, what's the market look like? Yes, I think they could get more aggressive if that happens, if there's somebody worth pursuing on the market. If we're talking about Rich Hill, probably not. I think it's probably at that point, you look at what do we have internally? You know, is Skeens in AAA and shoving? All right, let's go. Come on, Paul. Did they make some move where Jared Jones is not on the opening day roster and he's in AAA doing really well? All right, Jared, come on down. You know, I think it's just circumstantial. I don't think you can automatically say they're going to, you know, go sign somebody because they stink in a month. But yeah, I mean, they want to win. They expect to win. They think they can win regardless of what anybody else thinks about that. That should be governing the decision making, and you should be more aggressive if it's not working out. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I don't think that's an unreasonable standard to hold them to. I think you can say, "Hey, we'll let trust be the motto here for the first month." But I think if, especially because you got off to such a solid start last year, Jason, I think if you fall into a rut, it's going to be difficult for people to kind of stomach if they don't show a whole lot of interest in getting better. Let's get into, you mentioned Roansy Contreras still seems like something of a mess. Quinn Priester has not been great to this point, but obviously hasn't pitched a ton. Are these guys in any danger in your mind of getting lapped by this next wave of prospects, including Paul Skeens, guys who might be coming up this season to take the jobs that they had a chance to win? What is the timeline on these guys getting a chance in the big leagues?
Yeah, I mean, I think Roansy is in more trouble than Priester, just because, I mean, as we're talking about, the starting rotation writ large is not that competitive to where somebody can't crack it. Priester has options. Worst case scenario, they send him to AAA and he gets an opportunity there. And I think at some point during the season, the Pirates will need a starter. So I don't see that as being lapped. Now with Roansy, I don't know what you do. I really don't. He's out of options. I agree with you. He has not pitched well. I don't think he's pitched consistent enough that I can trust him with the rotation spot. Like, his stuff has looked better at times, but can I start him every fifth day and feel great about it? Not really. And so is he getting lapped? Very possibly. I mean, you might put it, like I said before, I would have Jared Jones in my rotation. And if that bumps out Roansy Contreras, I don't care. I have more belief in Jared Jones than I do Roansy Contreras. And frankly, I don't know if this makes me insane, but Chase Anderson has pitched so darn well, I'd probably put him in there. And if I lose Roansy Contreras because of it, whatever. I'm not really that worried about it. Like, I've seen a lot of pitchers display really good stuff that they couldn't throw consistently. And right now that's been Roansy. And so I think you make some roster moves based on, like, Priester, Ortiz, you can keep them in the minors. They have options, but you're trying to put together the best major league team possible. And right now I can't, based on what I've seen, say like Roansy and Priester are in my opening day rotation right now.
Do you think that there's any chance that they're not looking at it as we're putting the best rotation out there possible? We want to keep Roansy Contreras in the fold for a little bit while or longer. Maybe. So maybe he breaks camp and someone else doesn't because they can stay in the minors.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they could. And I guess to a degree, I would understand that, Adam, if you're riding it out with a guy and you say with Roansy, look, we don't have to make a move right now. We can give him a rotation spot. We're going to show a little bit of faith. I guess I get it. I just don't want to see them, you know, are we going to do this for 4 or 5 starts? I'd like to not. But, you know, I guess the other question I ask myself in the scenario you're presenting, which again is completely valid, and I think it's a fair criticism of the Pirates, but like, is there anybody better too? Like, if somebody really earned that spot, and I guess Jones would be the argument, but yeah, they could ride with them and stash guys in the minors. If you went strictly based on roster, I mean, you keep Bailey Falter probably in the bullpen or a rotation role. Rowanzi's in there. You send Ortiz and Priester to AAA. You probably keep Jared Jones down, which is going to upset some people. And understandably so. I mean, it's a mixed message. You're saying, we want to win games. We want to win games. We want to win games. But you're not putting your best team out there immediately.
Right. I mean, I think it's a matter of that's how assets have been managed to this point. And until you see something different from the Pirates, then I think it's a natural question to ask. Are you going to handle things differently than you have for the last 5 years? Are you going to prioritize keeping as many guys around as you can? Or are you going to prioritize being competitive? I think those will be interesting decisions to watch. I know you've written a lot about second base as well, Jason. So let's get into that. What's your read on how things are shaking out there, not just in terms of who makes the club, but how the playing time is allocated?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, the other day, Derek Shelton used Alika Williams in a bit of a strange way, playing him at third base. And that kind of set off some alarm bells for me. I guess I should have prefaced that with, I think Jared Triolo makes the club in some capacity. I'm not sure I'm breaking any news there. He's been really good. They like him a lot. Great. But it's kind of what you do with that spot. And whether it's Leover Peguero, whether it's Triolo, and if it's Peguero, you're going to bounce Triolo all around. But them using Alika at third sort of told me they want, like, because you could use Triolo as a backup at third, right? But if you're going to play Triolo every day at second, you're going to want a backup at third. And Alika could back up at third, could back up at shortstop. He could be a late inning defensive replacement. He's not going to hit for anything, but at least he's going to cover you if you need to, you know, sub out defensively or something like that. And that, you know, I think that would enable Peguero, Gonzalez to get reps at AAA. And honestly, Adam, that's the way I think they go. I think, you know, they keep Alika here and let him hang out on the bench and they don't really worry about development. At least they know he can field. Triolo plays second base basically every day. And if something changes, fine. But I think Peguero could hit himself onto the team that way, but he's kind of gone quiet after a hot start. And I don't know. It does make more sense to go that way and allow Peguero and Gonzalez, at least for now, to play every day.
Yeah, I think that's going to be interesting to watch, especially if Peguero does start to hit maybe in AAA. You know, how does that force the Pirates' hand? How does Triolo hit? I think that's like a big question is, you know, once he's in the big leagues in real games without some of the injury stuff that kind of held him down last season, do you think there's more power there to be seen when the games start to count here, Jason?
You mean Triolo?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. I do. I think what we saw in September was real for him. I don't even know if second base is his permanent position, but it's a position that he can play. And I think they want him in the lineup. He's such a smart baseball player, takes a good at bat, has a good feel of the strike zone, but he's not overly passive. Defensively, he can go anywhere. I still really like him at first base, honestly, Adam. And I look at the Pirates pipeline and what they have coming. Tamar Johnson's been really impressive. I don't think it's any question like that kid's going to be their second baseman of the very near future. So, I mean, I think Triolo is kind of holding that spot, but you know, after this year, do you move on from the Rowdy Tellez, Connor Joe platoon and bump Triolo over there? Very possibly. Wouldn't surprise me to see you end up like Ben Zobrist and just bounce around everywhere if Peguero comes up. Also wouldn't surprise me. But in any case, yes, I think the power is there to stay with Triolo. I like him a lot as a baseball player. He's one of my favorite people to watch on that team just because, like, he's smart, he's instinctual, he knows what he's doing at all times. You can put him anywhere and he's not overmatched. He's just a really solid, well-trained baseball player.
Everything's shaking out in right field.
Oh, boy. I don't know. It's sort of wild. The one person I think we can cross off the list at this point is Kutch. It's probably a different discussion, but I mean, he's taken such minimal reps over there, hasn't played in a game over there. I'm not sure if there's even a need for him to be over there, to be quite honest with you. Some of it will depend on what happens with Pagero and Triolo. Like if Pagero wins that job, I think Triolo will get more reps out there. Edward Olivares has not had a very good spring training. That said, I don't think he's somebody they can keep off the roster. If you look at what guys have done the past couple of years, like Olivares is starter level good on this team anyway, probably not starter level good on other teams, but for the Pirates, Joshua Palacios was injured and has missed some time, and that's a bit of a concern, but they do really like Palacios based on what he's done in later innings and pinch hitting and just kind of being a depth guy. So I don't know. I really don't. I think if the season started tomorrow, they'd probably still run Olivares out there. But I think it's going to be a pretty heavy rotation of guys. Like I still think that Palacios makes the club. Maybe that changes based on some stuff in the final 2 weeks, but I have a tough time seeing them not keep him. And then you're going to be looking for at-bats for Connor Joe. Depending on how that first base platoon goes, if you're going to try to get him and Rowdy in the lineup in the same time, Connor Joe is going to be your right fielder. So I think it's going to be a lot of mix and match, honestly.
That doesn't sound like it's going to be a job. Like it's going to be
jobs. Jobs, plural. Yeah. What would you do out there?
I just tend to wait until the season gets here to say, okay, who's coming north, and then kind of pick.
What the heck? Why didn't I get that treatment? I have to give an answer. You get to wait till they come north. I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, I'd like to see Olivares in games that count, right? Just for the same reasons that you stated, is he's been starter level good. And I don't want to get too swept up in spring training if there are guys who've proven it in the big leagues, and I think that's kind of where I would land, giving him a shot and then kind of letting things play out from there. But to your point as well, I like the ability to mix and match, because you look at DH. Well, if you're going to have Kutch there a lot, then to get different guys in the lineup, you're going to kind of have another position, and it seems like right field could be that position where you use it to get different guys in the lineup as opposed to the DH, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I get you. This drives people crazy, but like how much Shelton changes his lineup, it's really going to happen this year. Like he's not going to stick with any set guys other than Cruz at shortstop, Hayes at third base, Sawinski somewhere in the outfield, Reynolds in left. And I think Davis behind the plate, I think he's going to catch more often than not, but there's going to be a fair amount of moving and shaking, especially at first, right field, DH, trying to – I do think they're cognizant of Kutch not running his wheels off. One reason why I don't think right field makes any sense, just slow play this. He doesn't need the reps. He's been in spring training for 32 years or something like that. I think he's good. It's going to be interesting, though, to see how they get Kutch the at-bats that he needs, how they get Cruz breaks that they want to give him, how they give Hayes some breaks that they give him. I think that's part of – what is interesting to me about Alika and Triolo, like how you give Hayes days off, you need to do that. Again, a lot of moving parts that it's tough to predict on March 15th.
Let's dig into, you mentioned Henry Davis, Jason. I think people are all over the map with this guy. I saw a tweet yesterday saying he's been in Pirate City since November. He's tearing it up. MVP candidate. The words
whoa,
MVP.
Whoa.
Yes. So I think you got the hyper plugged in people who get real excited about the spring training, saying, oh man, MVP season coming. And then I think you have a lot of people that are probably more in my camp of let's see how things go once he gets back up here, and given the way things went, not just offensively but defensively. Let's see it on a night to night basis for a month before we start going too crazy with Henry Davis. What is your read on where he is today?
Yeah, I'm very much in your camp on that one, Adam. Oh boy, people are shouting MVP. I mean, look, Henry Davis deserves a ton of credit for what he's done. I question whether he was ever really that bad last year, or the Pirates just had their mind made up about something and they didn't want to change. Regardless, I mean, I've watched the kid catch now for over a month. He's a catcher. There's absolutely no issue there. If he does not perform it, it is because he's just catching poorly, not that he's incapable or something like that. I mean, he should be this team's number one catcher. the Heat should be there opening day. Obviously, I was watching Yasmani Grandal walk around Lecom Park in a walking boot yesterday because of plantar fasciitis. Like, it's great that he can catch and take at bats. Right now, he can't run, and I don't think he's anywhere close to running. And so, not that that should govern what they do with Davis because he's been so darn good this spring, but it's clear here what needs to happen. Now, MVP is a bit strong. That's kind of crazy. I want Henry to be able to catch, you know, 100 plus games behind the plate. I think he can do it. I want Henry to provide more consistent offense than he did last season. I think he can do it. I don't have any question that the power is going to be there. I'm really curious to see how he gets pitched and how he adjusts to that. I mean, I think a lot of Henry Davis and how he works, and you know, he's a very much an example for this team, and he's the future of this team. His personality, Paul Skeens' personality, it is very much taken over down in spring training among the younger group. But yeah, the MVP stuff is a little bit much for anybody right now.
Yeah, I think the bar is, can he be a good player, right? And like, it's an underappreciated thing, I think, in baseball, Jason. It's just the good player. Doesn't have to be a great player. And the Pirates just don't have or haven't had enough good players. And so I'd like to see him come north and just be a good player. Is that a fair bar to kind of set?
For now, like, he's a 1-1 pick. So I understand, like, you don't want to settle for a 1-1 pick being mediocre, which I'm not saying that's what you're saying. I'm just speaking generally on it. Yeah. Like, you know, for right now, yeah, I'm in your camp. I want to see Henry Davis just catch, be respectable, you know, add offense where he can. Let's meet him where he is and see him grow. I think he's going to grow into a very, very good player. But for right now, yeah, I'm okay with just, you know, he's a guy. There's no, you know what I think is most telling about this? No game that Henry caught this season or this preseason did you say, like, oh God, what are they doing? What's wrong with this kid? Are they going to stop the game because this is a charade? Like, no, you didn't even notice it. He's totally fine. And so, I mean, that's what I want to continue for Henry this entire season. I don't have any doubt that he's going to produce offensively. I want to see it more consistently. I think that's one thing you can say. I mean, it's 62 games, right, last year. So, I mean, he's naturally going to have some peaks and valleys. But there were times where, like, okay, I see the MVP stuff. I see why he's going to be really good. And then he goes into the tank for 15 games or something like that. So, I mean, iron that out a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I think the Pirates have an above average player on their hands right now with the possibility he could be very good or great.
I guess I got a similar question about O'Neill Cruz. Obviously, we've seen the power is still there, Jason. I think that's an encouraging sign for a lot of people. Do you think it's going to be there with the consistency that I think a lot of people hope for him? Because I think we saw, you know, even in his rookie year when he came up, that the power was always there. It was a question of just how often it was going to be there and what he was going to do in between. What's your read on where he is kind of on that scale? Obviously, he has the ability, but what's the consistency going to look like?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. It's something I've been watching with Cruz too. I mean, we know he can hit the ball a long ways. It's a lot of fun to focus on that. With O'Neill, I've started and have done to do this for a little bit of time on the other stuff. Look at how he matches up against lefties. Look at his swing decisions on stuff out of the zone. Look at how he fares against breaking stuff and the type of pitches or type of swings he's taking at those pitches. And I think that's going to determine what you're talking about. And that stuff has looked better. It started to look better last year before the ankle injury. And I think O'Neill knows he can hit the ball very far and loves that. And he's a star and a lot of fun to watch, but pitch selection and swing decisions are what is going to govern a lot of the good stuff. You know, if he's putting himself in those counts, which he's done this year, he's done that this spring. And, you know, as long as that process continues, yes, I believe the consistency will be there. And the consistency has been there this spring. He's been consistently outstanding. I don't have any concerns about the health. I just want to see, you know, O'Neill taking the same type of at-bats that we've seen him take for a month where, you know, if you get beat by a pitch, so be it. So be it. As long as you're staying, you know, for what you're looking for and selling out to your strengths, his strengths are better than most others' strengths. And in the past, he has gotten himself into trouble by chasing, by trying to do too much. And fortunately, that has not happened this spring.
I think that's encouraging. And also just, you know, I think it was just a question worth asking because I think
no doubt.
I don't think they're the same player. But I think we saw some of that with Ellie De La Cruz last season as well, Jason, in Cincinnati, where he'd be on SportsCenter half the nights, and then the other half the nights, you didn't necessarily know where he was, and he was part of why the Reds kind of petered out late in the season. Is that a fair comparison? Or?
Oh, totally. I love it. I love it, and I think O'Neill's completely aware of it. Not necessarily Ellie De La Cruz, but you know what I just said is more me watching and observing. Anytime we've talked to O'Neill, that subject has come up about you know trying to have at bats, trying to have good at bats, trying to stay within my approach, trying to swing at what I want to swing at and not swing at what I shouldn't be swinging. That sort of stuff. Like I think that's coming from the coaching staff. I think that's coming from O'Neill and his own maturity. Yeah, I mean, you can look at Ellie De La Cruz, and I completely agree with you. He was mercurial, might be the word. I don't know. But, you know, I think he's a great player. He just wasn't consistent enough last year. And I think that's going to be, you know, you look at the great players in this game, and they're able to do it all the time. And I do think O'Neill can be one of those.
Yeah, yeah, it's just going to be interesting. Can you take, just like we're talking about with Henry Davis, can you take that step to being a good player first before you become this star turn, this person you're talking about, if not for MVP candidacy, then at least for all-star candidacy, right? Let's get into Rowdy Tellez a little bit. Were you hoping to see more from him this spring, or do you look at him and say, he's a vet, he's going to be ready when the lights turn on?
Yeah.
Because I think there are some fans that certainly wanted to see more, given that they weren't enamored with that move to begin with.
Yeah, I'm starting to see the turn on Rowdy Tellez, man. People are getting riled up. And I understand it. I mean, he hasn't been good this spring. I wouldn't defend it. But I've watched Tyler Anderson stink in spring. I've watched Jose Quintana stink in spring. I'm sure there were – I've watched Diego Castillo and Kevin Newman be good in spring. And you see where all of that led us. So I don't have a reaction right now. I know that based on how the Pirates spend or don't spend money, what they did with Rowdy Tellez is going to put him on the field more often than not. I've talked to Rowdy Tellez a bunch, and it's a welcome personality in that clubhouse. Like, he's just a fun guy to be around, and he needles a lot of people, and I think he loosens them up. Like, he was calling Henry Davis Randy the other day, which was hilarious to me. Like, Henry Davis is one of the most serious people you could ever come across. Like, he's walking around with an iPad at all times, like reading things and studying things. And he's very, you know, very, very team serious. And here's Rowdy Tellez screwing with him, calling him Randy. Like, that's such a small thing, but Tellez, there's like nobody that's off limits, including media. He's just giving everybody crap. And obviously that doesn't matter if you don't hit, but I mean, we're talking about what, 10 spring training games. I don't see that as a big issue at this point. It doesn't seriously concern me. If we're sitting here talking about Rowdy Tellez and a 500 some OPS in mid-May or June, yeah, we've got a problem. But I'm going to hear him out. I've seen too many veterans have poor spring trainings and it completely flips around. So I think we just need to give this a little bit of time, see the stuff that, like, I don't think he's been bad at first base. I think that's been encouraging. I like the personality and the mix and what he does for clubhouse. And I'm going to wait and see if the bat comes around.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jay. I will say I wasn't particularly wild about the move, but I'm not going to, you know, I'll wait and see on when the games start to count before I start to freak out. It's just more about I didn't like the move and not I'm going to validate my position by what's happened in spring training.
No, I hear it. Out of curiosity, what would you rather have seen them done? Seen them do? I'm not trying to start a fight. I'm just curious.
Rhys Hoskins.
Okay. That's fair.
I mean, yeah, just because what? That he goes to the Brewers. He takes Rowdy Tellez's job. And I think a lot of Pirates fans have pointed out, and I think rightly, that, you know, if you're serious about competing, that's a person you compete for. And you get the original guy and not the guy who took his job. I think that's probably the easy name to throw out there. Someone of that caliber, Jason. But I think for me, the conversation starts at Rhys Hoskins, if that makes sense.
No, I get you. I get you. I understand people that want to see that. I wouldn't say anything otherwise. The Santana thing, I disagree with a little bit, like the people that really hardcore wanted Carlos Santana, because I genuinely think the route they're going, they can replace that production for probably cheaper or the same amount of, probably less. And I think some of that clubhouse stuff can be overrated at times. Even what I'm saying about Tellez, like, you know, the Pirates were a better team last year after they lost Santana. Like, I don't think they committed any crimes by going a different route at first base, like basically a better platoon. But if you're going to say they should have shot higher for Rhys Hoskins, I can't disagree with that. The only thing I find interesting, like if you're Rhys Hoskins and you have your choice of the Brewers or the Pirates, and he probably had his choice of others, I would imagine. What would possibly lead you to sign with the Pirates?
More money? I mean, yeah. that would be my question, and I think that's what a lot of Pirates fans want to see, Jason, is obviously you're going to have to spend a little bit more to get some of these guys to come here, but if you're going to out of one side of your mouth say we're going to compete and then out of the other side say we're going to settle for something less than a similar market size was able to sign for, you know, I think it's a valid criticism from
fans. Okay. Do you think Rhys Hoskins is worth $17 million a year?
To the Pirates? Maybe.
To anybody. Do you think he's a $17 million a year player?
I think he can be, yeah. And I think he has a lot more upside than Rowdy Tellez does. And I think that's why the Brewers wanted one and not the other. And I think, you know, and it's sometimes we just have to talk about it in terms of the division to me, Jason, because those are the teams you got to beat, right?
No, I hear you. It's just the argument for Rhys Hoskins, like you're saying they need to overpay. Okay, well, his offer was 34 over two. And so to get him, the Pirates are going to what? Go 40 years or 40 million over 2 years? Is that right? You're going to take him to a $20 million a year player? I mean, if we say, I'm doing some quick math here, but like if you're saying a win above replacement is 8 million, you know, you're
at something like that.
I mean,
he'll be to 2.5-3 win guy. I think he can be that if that's the question.
Yeah, I mean that's what you're banking on him being a two and a half to three win guy. That's what you're paying for, and you're somebody coming off a serious knee injury. I don't know. I don't like, and here's where that breaks down for me. Like I will argue that a little bit, but the money that they didn't spend on Rhys Hoskins, it bothers me that they didn't spend it on pitching. Like if it aligns, if you say like, look, we're gonna live with the platoon of Connor Joe and Rowdy Tellez, and we're gonna save some money. We have a hole in our starting rotation and we need to funnel those dollars over there. I can get down with that. But when the money isn't spent on pitching, what are we doing?
Preach.
What are we doing here?
Yeah. No, I'm right there, Jay. I think people were looking for one we actually are going for it type of move.
I agree. As they should be.
Whether it was Rhys Hoskins or a pitcher, I mean, I completely agree with you there. It's going to be one move of that kind. It doesn't necessarily have to be that one player.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't think Rhys Hoskins is worth $40 million over 2 years for the Pirates. I don't. I think they can spend, I think they could have spent their money in a different way. And it irritates me that they didn't, because I think, you know, fans really, they want that. They deserve that. They showed up more last year to support the team. Like we see how much from a newspaper perspective they're invested and they read and they care and all this stuff. Like you're saying you're going to want to, you want to win. You have three starting pitchers. Go spend the money that you've saved in other positions and go buy a starting pitcher.
Yeah. It's just a
problem.
The debate becomes a lot more fun, Jason, when you're saying, is Rhys Hoskins worth that much when you can have this? I think that's a lot more fun debate than do you want to have anything at all? And I think that's where a lot of people are. That's where I am. Jason, what's something you want to see from this group in the next 2 weeks that you haven't yet?
Ooh, surprised me. I'm staying on starting pitching, Adam. I want to see the Pirates having to turn away good pitchers because they've had several guys pitch well and state a case for a spot. Right now, I feel like they're just kind of scraping up whoever has not been bad, and they're going to bring them north. Inside of that, if that's Jared Jones, I want to see them make that move. Like if you didn't add what you thought and said you were going to add via trade this offseason, you're not going to take a flyer move on like Bauer, Herman, Syndergaard, one of those guys, which I can kind of understand at this point. You're not going to start Paul Skeens in the major leagues. My goodness, you've got to give your fans something, right? So, I mean, I want to see them keep Jared Jones if he deserves it, and I want to see a bunch of guys over these final 2 weeks show that they do deserve it and it's competitive. I don't know if those two, tracks can coexist, but I can't get past the pitching, man. I want to see more from the starting pitching. What about you?
Yeah, I began the show with starting pitching for a reason, Jason, and it's just to me the biggest question mark. And where we were 2 months ago, it doesn't feel like the ball has really moved down the field in a significant way on that. And so, you'd like to see somebody be lights out, and that doesn't guarantee anything. Obviously, it's spring, the matchups are different, but at least if someone has a little bit of momentum, you can sell yourself on okay, maybe they can get off to a decent start and then maybe they can figure it out from there, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I mean, it gives both of us cover, right? Like, you can say the starting pitching and we can talk about a bunch of stuff and inside of it. I'm genuinely curious about Mitch Keller and the velocity and what's going on with him. He's going to start, I believe, Saturday here at home. Jared Jones is going to go on the road in Northport. But I mean, is he good enough? Is what we saw from Marco Gonzalez not as Mitch good enough? I mean, is the velocity there the way we expected it? I mean, that was not a small drop, his last start in Grapefruit League action. You know, is Martin Perez, he's been good this spring, is that going to hold? Marco Gonzalez, his last start, is that going to hold? Like, you could go down the line of all of these questions. And I'm not sure that 2 weeks is going to give us enough of a sample size to feel great about it, but can probably help us feel a little better about it, given, you know, what we've seen from Rowanzi and Ortiz and Priester and all this stuff. I mean, fans that are uneasy about that stuff, I certainly get it.
Yeah. And I think you bring up a good point with Mitch Keller. I believe in him being a consummate pro at this point. He earned that extension for a reason, but I think there's still a lot of outcomes that can happen within that lane, right, Jason? Is he going to be really good? Is he going to be just a decent starter at the big league level, which would be great for the Pirates? But, you know, in terms of their big picture, I don't know if that's what they need him to be. They need him to be really good. And so I think there's still a lot of outcomes that can happen with him, even if he is quote-unquote fine, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
The Vegas over-under right now, 74.5, Jason. Have you seen anything that would cause you to dispute that in a significant way, one way or the other down there?
I would still take the over. I really would. Maybe I'm insane, but yeah, I think Vegas's over-under last year on them was like 67. And so that was off. Not that I'm going to make a habit of disagreeing with Vegas. It looks like it does for a reason. But I think the offense can be really good on this team. I do. If they stay healthy, I was talking earlier about O'Neill Cruz. I think that's absolutely repeatable. I think you go down a lineup, Reynolds, Hayes. I think Sawinski's going to have a very strong year. I think Henry Davis can have a strong, like, I think they're going to score more runs than people anticipate. I think the bullpen's going to be very good as well. I think getting those first five innings covered on a consistent basis is going to be the biggest question with this team. Now, do I think they ultimately get a wild card spot or something crazy? No, I don't. And I think that pitching is probably a big reason why. But if you're telling me, am I going over under 74, I'm still going over. What about you?
Yeah, a year ago, I think my pick was 70 wins. So that put, what, 3 wins comfortably over what the Vegas line was. I think you were around 74. So you were 4 wins ahead, and you ended up being closer than I was. My guess is I'd say, okay, I can go with over, but I'm still looking in that 77, 78 type of range. I'm not sure I'm ready to say this looks like a team that can produce a winning season to me.
You don't think?
No,
I'm not going to get over 500.
I'm not there yet. I mean, if you were picking a specific win total, where would you go?
I think they'll be over 500. I do. I think like 82, 83 wins, something like that. I don't think they make the playoffs. I don't think they get a wild card. I do think they will end up being better than people anticipate. And I think
that would put them right in the wild. I mean, that would put them in a theoretical wild card race, wouldn't it?
It would put them in a race. I don't think 82 would get them anything, but it would get them playing semi-relevant baseball. Then I do think they're capable of doing that. I do.
That's fair. Yeah. And so I think we're kind of in a similar place to last year of okay. Yeah. I can see over, but I'm not quite as far high on them as maybe you are. And that's fine. You know, I think that's what makes this interesting is, you know, where are the predictions going to line up? I think if you ask me for a specific win total now, Jason, I'd say 78.
Okay. All right. We should bet a stake on a stone on it or something.
We should. And see where that lines up. And so we can, check back in September. It's a long time for us to anticipate that stake, Jason, but,
that's all right. I still owe Filippone one from, who the heck was this? I bet him a dinner there on some. Oh, Jared Eichhoff. Jared Eichhoff is going to cost me a steak dinner, but that's all right.
One of these days.
I'm going to put it off as long as I can.
Jason, any final thoughts? Specifically, I know you were at the spring breakout game, and there was a little bit of excitement around that compared to your average exhibition game. Any thoughts on that or anything else down there?
They could do that better. I think it's a good event in theory. I think there's an appetite for that stuff. And I think they hopefully saw that, But I do wish, and I think some of this stuff is unavoidable doing it in spring, but like not having Solomato, Harrington there, only having Skeens pitch one inning, that kind of stunk. I get it. I get why you're not doing certain things. But yeah, I'd like to see them continue it. And I think there's just going to be different ways to enhance the event, maybe involve more guys. I don't know. But yeah, it was fun. It was a really good atmosphere. It was one of the best atmospheres at LeCom we've seen down here so far. I thought Skeens was absolutely ridiculous. I don't think anybody needs me to tell them that. But I'll be curious to see also how these games play in other markets. I'm always cognizant of, you know, the future and prospects and all this stuff plays so very well in Pittsburgh, but it doesn't translate other places where like they're more focused on the major league team. So I don't know if they'll have the appetite for it, but I think among Pirates fans, this event is always going to be popular.
Yeah. You know, I like that it was a night game. I know why they do mostly day games during spring training, but it's nice, I think, for a lot of people to be able to sit down in the evening and be able to just kind of focus on the Pirates for a little bit. So, you know, I like that too, even though I understand why things are the way they are. Jason, thanks for stopping by this week. It was good to talk, to really dig into it. And I'll be back on Saturday, everyone, with the Steelers NFL mock draft tracker video. I think it's going to be Brian Bacco this week. So make sure you're subscribed to the channel for that. Make sure you like this video if you enjoyed it. Help us out in the YouTube algorithm. We always appreciate that. And we will talk to you again real soon.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.